knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Fight Knowledge. I'm Jordan.
I'm Dan.
Hey, and this is a podcast where I start making up nonsense about people, and we see what happens.
Okay.
Hey, Dan.
Hi, Jordan.
How are you doing?
Great. I got a question for you.
What's that?
What is your thing for the day that is brightening your spirits in this trying time we all find ourselves in?
I have been... it is good to spend time with my partner.
Sure.
I love her very much. She's kind of... You know, we're all kind of getting used to this circumstance, but having her... has really made this a lot easier.
Oh, that's great.
Kept me from going crazy. How about you?
I'm happy,
Dan?
For you.
Yeah, thank you.
Mine's going to be a little bit less emotionally resonant. I stumbled across some videos on YouTube.
Don't worry, she doesn't listen to this.
Right. I stumbled across some videos on YouTube by this pro skateboarder from Switzerland named Johnny Geiger.
Okay.
And what he does, he has a series of videos where he's a professional skateboarder, so he's good at skateboarding.
Okay. Well,
what he does, he has a series where he's trying to recreate the tricks that Rodney Mullen did, these really difficult tricks from like classic skate videos,
okay,
trying to do them himself.
Okay.
And I find them so endearing. Like,
okay,
he seems like a pretty cool guy. He has, he has a good, bright personality. And one of the things that I really like about these videos is that they're really a celebration of process.
Okay.
Like, you see him fail, like, repeatedly.
Okay.
And, like, trying to figure out how to do the trick. And then there's, like, a long learning curve, mm-hmm, through it. And then the eventual payoff of hard work, you know, winning out. And he does the tricks.
Right. So it
seemed to be impossible. They're so
right,
hard to do.
Right.
And, you know, just perseverance, pushing through when you fall over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is like through that failure, you see the incremental progress.
Mm-hmm.
You see like, oh, that little part of the trick, he's figured out now how to do that.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
he's still falling at the end.
Right,
or whatever.
Right, right, right.
I really find that brightening. I really enjoy it.
Because he could have just posted the successful trick.
Yeah.
And you probably would have gotten a shit ton of views out of that. People watch all those little clips of,
I think,
you know,
it's way better in the structure,
exactly,
that it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I enjoy it. It's been a night, and it's like outdoors in Switzerland.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. It looks nice. The music's great. I enjoy it. I have no idea who this dude is. I'd never heard of him until a couple of days ago, but I can't stop watching these videos where he tries to recreate these tricks.
Ah, it's really cool.
Shout out to Johnny Geiger.
Hey.
Hey, Sonia, do you know him?
I don't know.
She's in Sweden.
She can't. That's a different place.
Sorry,
I don't know.
Sonia.
I don't know what that means, but.
That's my bad.
Yeah. That's all right. Anyways, Dan, I've taken over.
Yeah, that's true.
We're doing a reverse Fight Knowledge episode. And I figured that since we talk almost, oh, I'm done with Mark Moreno, by the way.
Oh, that's good. I'm sure people would be sick and tired.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
guy,
yeah.
Well, before you get down to business, yeah, I'm going to let you take the wheel. But before you do, we got to take a moment to say thank you to some folks who have signed up and are supporting the show. A lot of initials on this episode.
Gotcha.
So first, Anthony G. Thank you so much. You're now Policy Wonk.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
Thank you, Anthony G.
Thank you, Tony G. Next, Joe R. Thank you so much. You're now Policy Wonk.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
Thank you, Joe R.
Thank you. Next, Alex U. Thank you so much. You're now Policy Wonk.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
Thank you, Alex U.
I like to believe that one's Alex University as opposed to...
I like it.
<an initial. laughs> Next, AK. Thank you so much. You're now Policy Wonk.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
I like to think that's AK University.
Could be.
Yeah.
Next, Michael G. Thank you so much. You're now Policy Wonk.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
Thank you, Michael G.
Next, Roger. Thank you so much. You're now Policy Wonk.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
Thanks, Roger.
I just learned, someone posted that Roger Stone is on Cameo, and so you can pay him to record little messages.
Of course you can.
Very close. Tried to buy a Cameo from him.
Just have him say it's over for humanity. There will only be lone survivors.
I've been trying to think like what I would want Roger Stone to say, and it's... You know, I feel like there's already audio of a lot of things I want to hear him
say.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I think I would just want to have him read a list of words just like completely out of just poopy pants. Outdoors. I would just enjoy it.
I would love, I think I might end up, I can't justify that purchase. Anyway, Tessa, thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Tessa.
Thank you, Tessa. Next, Jed. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Jed.
Thanks, Jed. Next, finally, Armand, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Armand.
Thank you, Armand. If you're out there listening, you're thinking, hey, I enjoy the show, I'd like to support these gents, do, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show. We would appreciate it.
It would be very, very helpful.
And now I bequeath the show to
all
you,
right.
Jordan.
Here we go.
So you've done this a couple times now. I mean, it's like 400
still
something.
Fucking up the first part of the episode.
400 episodes in or so. This is your third.
Yeah.
And two of them have been complaining about Mark Marino and climate change.
Right.
So everyone's probably expecting that that's what you're going to talk about. And honestly, I've seen the clip names. I have no idea.
I have no idea
what you're about to tell me about.
Yeah. So here's what I want to talk about. We have talked almost exclusively about people who either don't believe in what they're saying, maybe believe in what they're saying, but either way are acting completely differently than what that's real. I wanted to see what would happen if we talked about people who actually believe what they're talking about.
All right. I also, I see a name in here and I hope it's who I think it is, but I'm sure it's not.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Might as well go ahead and play our out of context drop.
I think the Pope needs to seek Donald Trump's forgiveness for saying such an outlandish thing.
Okay.
Do you know who we're talking about?
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, he has the voice of a televangelist.
He is a televangelist. Yes, sir.
Okay. I went the opposite direction with this. They actually believe what they say.
Uh-huh.
I thought you meant it was someone who has a good opinion and believes what they
know. Absolutely not.
Oh, I thought this was going to be like an uplifting. These people are...
Not a chance.
I am not sure who this fella is.
So...
Is it? I know it's not Pat Robertson.
No.
And I know it's not Jack Van Impe.
It is not him.
I don't know.
It is Robert Jeffers.
Oh, okay. I've heard that name. I know that guy.
He's the head pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas. And I started looking into him because I wanted to talk about religion or something along those lines. I was looking for something to talk about. And I had this idea of what are we talking about if we talk about somebody who believes what they're talking about. So when I talk about belief, I don't know if Dr. Robert Jeffers or any, I'm going to talk about a few televangelists today. I don't know if they actually in their heart of hearts believe this bullshit.
It's almost impossible to tell.
Exactly. But the guys that I am going to talk about have all actually lived their lives according to these principles. So, and
sort
by
of like,
all accounts, successfully.
Sort of like Bill Cooper dying the way he did.
Exactly.
Is kind of a indication of living by the things you profess.
Right. I don't know if they believe it or not, but they are professional believers.
Walking the walk.
Every single day they are paid to wake up and act as though they are the most Christian people in the world, and that's what they do.
All right.
So as far as belief goes, that's what I'm talking about. Not do they think that it's 100% true.
All right.
And the guys that I'm talking about, specifically Dr. Robert Jeffers, is a Fox News televangelist. He is the TV guy that you go to if you want any defense of Trump from any attack. He will defend Trump doing anything. He's the
guy. I feel like there's a lot of religious folks who would do that. Is it the case that he just has less toxicity to him than like Jim Baker?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's why you can slot him in on a TV show.
This guy,
the collar clean, as it were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and this guy, I've researched this guy for like the past 2 days nonstop. And by all accounts, he is an incredibly sweet, nice, kind human being who has the most vicious, awful thoughts. And like, he has charmed journalist after journalist who's gone with him. Like, I'm going to work with a guy named Michael Mooney, a lot of his work, and he's basically, like, lived with Jeffers for a while to see what's going on, you to hear see if he's a huckster, you know?
Yeah, you hear some of the, or you get that sense from, like, some of those Louis Theroux documentaries,
right,
where he goes and he's like, all these people are terrible, but some of them are kind of nice to
right,
you.
Right, 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 right.
Sociopaths.
And this guy is a complete psychopath. Like, what these televangelists do is TV. Like, they do it because they're good at the TV part. These guys aren't right. The guys who love the grift. They're like, Alex is like a comic who's hustling all the time, trying to sneak onto gigs, trying to find every possible way, selling merch after the shows, that kind of stuff.
Mm.
The televangelists that I'm talking about are more like, they're just really talented performers. Like,
they want the spotlight.
Exactly. But and they're really good at it, and they're paid because they're talented performers.
To your point, though.
Yeah.
I think that Alex primarily is only grinding and selling merch after the shows because he was pursuing the limelight.
Sure.
And he overextended himself to the point where he now has a giant studio.
Absolutely.
And all that shit he has to pay for, and no one could pay him ads.
That's probably true.
So
as well.
It's sort of a functional thing, whereas right. Like, if he had his druthers, he probably would be as, like, attention grabby. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's a weird thought, but yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to derail.
No. You're not derailing me at all. As far as that goes, that's an interesting question, except these guys are the ones who took the steps that get you there.
Mm-hmm.
Alex didn't. So
I think he
maybe
thought
that's,
he was.
Yeah, that's probably true.
He maybe auditioned for a movie. got told he has to worship the devil like Mark Dice got told.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is the guy who goes on Fox News and says Democrats worship Satan, Mormonism is a cult. He got into a huge fight with Mitt Romney in 2008,
sure.
Because he said that Mormons were a cult and we could never vote for him.
And that John Huntsman was a better Mormon.
Exactly.
No, that was Steve. Sorry, Steve Chenick.
Yeah, and then in 2012, he was like, well, we got to vote for Mitt Romney. We can't not vote for him. He's that kind of guy. And like all televangelists, he's written a ridiculous number of books. That I don't think anybody reads ever.
Probably his one books, of those like bulk purchases things.
Yeah, totally. Because his books all have clickbait titles. Like the most recent one is Courageous, 10 Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. Then there's How Can I Know? Answers to Life's 7 Most Important Questions.
How can I know?
Uh-huh. Or God's 7 Secrets for Success and Significant. Like, nobody's
the same as The Habits of Highly Effective People?
Almost exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think anybody has read these, and all televangelists write this the exact same book.
You know what? I bet people have read it, and I bet they're church small groups.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I bet that certain groups right. churches, like, they get together and they have a book study.
Right. Well, and he's the pastor of a megachurch, so he does have a captive audience there where it's like he owns the printing press that prints his books and sells them to the people who work at the printing press, that kind of thing.
Good grift.
Yeah.
good grief.
Good grief. So I wanted to find out where this dude comes from. And as far as his early life, there's really not much detail going on. The biography that you keep getting is Jeffers was raised in Dallas. At the age of 7, he joined the First Baptist Church of Dallas.
Mm.
He was saved by...
Wait, what day? What year was this?
Let's see. He's 64 now, so that puts us at
he was
57
probably,
years ago. So, but
how long was he in Dallas? His whole career?
No, not his whole career. He was raised in Dallas up until...
I'm trying to see if there's overlap with Alex.
There is.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. He's raised in Dallas. He goes to Baylor. So he's a Waco guy.
Mm-hmm.
This dude is First Baptist all the way.
Okay.
And he was saved by legendary televangelist.
Benny Hinn?
W.A. Criswell.
Mm.
The guy who established, or turned the First Baptist Church of Dallas into basically the first mega church.
Huh.
Here's a little bit of Criswell.
We have a full program tonight. So we begin. May I speak on the curse of liberalism?
Sure.
Yeah, that's how he starts.
It's good.
His sermon.
Good opening volley.
Yeah. And he is...
Let's talk about that 501c3.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's basically what we're talking about when you get down to it. And Criswell is... like one of the biggest televangelists, and he's got that Southern Baptist tradition that I am absolutely mystified by. Like, I love it. I really do. I love listening to Southern Baptist preachers.
Yeah, there's an energy to it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Just listen to him tell a story.
Oklahoma and Texas play football in the Cotton Bowl.
I got to stop already. This has a real Dusty Rhodes vibe.
Oh yeah.
Seated right there, squared in front of me, was an Oklahoma fan in all of that whole side of Texas fanatics. There he was. In the days of Bud Wilkinson, he stood up right there in front of me and held up a $100 bill and he said, "Oh, you Texans!" I'll give you 7 points and bet you this $100 bill would beat you. He didn't have any takers, sat down after a little while, stood up again and said, "Oh, you Texans, I'll give you 14 points and bet this $100 bill would beat you." Nobody took him after a little while. He stood up again and said, "Oh, you Texans, I'll give you 21 points and bet you this $100 bill that we beat you." Didn't have any takers. He sat right down there in front of me, and I said, "Man, I'd like to have you in my church. You believe in your team, and you put your money where your mouth is. Boy, I'd like to have you in my church."
This guy sounds like a little plumber son. Yeah. He grew up and became so sweet. It's very Dusty Rhodes-ish.
Yeah.
You hear him yelling about hard times.
Yeah.
All these hard times!
Daddy?
Yeah.
You putting Dusty Rhodes through some hard times, Daddy. Hard times when they fire you and give you a watch.
Oh, yeah.
But that is like the good version of it. Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
But it's one of the actual, like, you know, kind of scammy preachers. It's a bummer because it is a really infectious, seductive
mm-hmm.
Manner of speaking.
Yeah.
But when it's a pro wrestler who's the American dream.
Perfect.
Maybe his belly's a little too big. Maybe his hiney is a little too big. Doesn't look like the athlete of the day, but you know a brother, he's bad. And they know he's bad. And Ric Flair, I'm coming for your title, Ric Flair.
Now you see why it's great.
Yeah, of course.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
And
it's someone who comes from the Midwest, too. It's like,
yeah.
It's almost in your DNA.
Yeah.
That kind of like, it's really...
The tent revivalists.
Yeah.
That's crossed the world. And then, you know, I grew up in a church background. My family was a cult, and Criswell was absolutely a cult leader.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Billy Graham was a member of Criswell's church. Like, he brought Billy Graham into the fold.
And then,
like,
he went, turned heel.
Exactly.
So he's the Ric Flair.
Exactly.
Billy Graham tried to put me through hard time.
I think Billy Graham might actually have tried to put him through.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe.
Tried to give him a watch.
So Criswell creates the modern megachurch, basically. And he's doing this to build a compound.
Mm-hmm.
He is not building a megachurch. He's building like a complete
sort
city.
Sort of like Jim Baker's Morningside?
Exactly. Jim Baker is a fan of Criswell.
I would, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
that
yeah.
Just makes
everybody
sense.
Is. Yeah. But this is from, to give you an idea, this guy is creating a Christian separatist compound, essentially, and this is from a sermon he gave in the 80s. Christian education is education and environment of the mind and heart and will of our blessed Lord. It is an institution. It's a school where the faculty and the administration and the trustees and the classes and the environment and most of the student body are all Christian. I don't know why he said most. Because he wants all of it. I don't.
Right.
Putting most in there seems so ridiculous to me.
No. You got to let in a couple non-Christians in order for there to be a game.
Yeah.
You know,
it
like,
does seem
you gotta
like that,
swing
right?
Them.
Yeah.
You need to have like 5% non-Christian, but by the end of the term,
right.
100%.
Right.
No, it's
a little bit like the 97% voted for me where it's
no,
like.
No. Because that's just an illusion.
Right.
You need to keep things interesting.
Are you saying that he's turning the school into a
game?
A hunt?
Well, more or less. I mean, not the most dangerous game.
Mm-hmm.
You're not killing people, but it is, you know.
In a way. Spiritually.
I know from my time at a Baptist megachurch that a lot of the thing that seemed to animate the faith of some folks within the church, certainly not all of them, but the evangelism part of it really seemed to give it meaning.
Yeah.
So I would believe that if you wanted to create this Christian-only environment and you're someone like this guy, you'd let in 5-8% non-Christians in order to give people to convert.
You got
to
have somebody to chase.
Right.
It's almost like feeding pets.
Well, I mean, there's a certain section of the student body that's probably going to need that.
Right. All these recreation. People are snakes. And so every now and then you got to throw a mouse in there for them to. I gotcha.
I mean, that just makes sense.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. And he basically created that. Mm-hmm. He created this. And Robert Jeffers is the result of an education completely controlled by W.A. Criswell. Mm-hmm. I swear to you, he is like an experiment. The more I've looked into him, he was groomed by Criswell from the age of 7. He is an absolute automaton. He's not a human being. He's a psychopath. And he is the most terrifying man alive to me because he believes everything that he is told by Criswell. So he's raised by Criswell, goes to Baylor, immediately out of Baylor, gets hired right back at First Baptist Church in Dallas. Works there for a few years. Then he goes to become the head pastor at First Baptist in Eastland, Texas, which Criswell helped him get the job. Then after that, he becomes the head pastor at First Baptist Church in Wichita in Texas, which he got because of Criswell.
There's a Wichita in Texas?
Wichita Falls. Yeah. And then in 2007, 5 years after Criswell died, Jeffers became head pastor of First Baptist in Dallas and took over. Like, this was the king coming home to, this was fucking Simba coming back to roost. Yeah. And he is relentless and insane. And I couldn't find any early sermons of his whenever he was, before First Baptist in Dallas. However, he did go on Card Sharks.
I like that game.
In 1986.
That was a great game.
And you can find it.
Was Card Sharks the one where it's just high-low, basically?
Yes, it is absolutely just high-low.
I love that.
Yeah, no, it's great. But here's the thing that I forgot about Card Sharks. Mm. They ask, like, survey questions like Family Feud.
Yeah.
And everybody is, I think, encouraged to give a weird personal tidbit before they give their answer for the survey question.
That would make sense. I mean, you got to keep it a little interesting.
Yeah. So you find out a lot of weird information about people.
People were surveyed. how many people ate tacos in the last month? Is it over 40% or under?
Yeah.
That's the game. And then they put out like the playing cards and you have like a 7 on there and you're like,
higher
or
lower?
I think it's higher.
That's the whole game.
It's a 6.
That's the whole game.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love it. It's so dumb.
It is incredibly stupid. You can't go back and watch shows in the 80s though, like,
and then if you win you get like, I don't know, a toaster. You'd get a beach ball as a prize.
Oh no, at the end of this he went on like a few episodes and I think he wound up winning about $4,500, which in 1986 money is pretty good.
That's not bad.
It's wild to go back and watch shows from the 80s because
you can't do it.
They wind up doing all kinds of weird
man, like if you watch
shit.
Any kind of stuff from like any of those shows.
Yeah.
You have, everyone's drunk.
Yeah.
And they're all saying shit that's like, oh my God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In this one, the host of the show has,
Dawson is kissing people.
Basically. Yeah. He's got 10, and he announces them as such, 10 college co-eds.
Right.
Who are asked to sit up next to the stage, like Price is Right style.
And we're talking about ladies.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's why they're called college co-eds. In the 80s, that you knew what that meant.
I never understood that. Co-educational means it's men and women.
I know, but it's always...
Yeah, it always describes...
I think it's more like... I think it was popularized maybe by Playboy because it was women that you actually went to school with and not...
Probably.
Private, you know, that kind of thing.
I would assume it's a half thing.
Yeah, something like that.
So there's 10 ladies.
10 women. They were surveyed. Mm. How many of you would kiss on the first date?
Okay.
The contestant against Jeffers says it is 6. Mm. 6 women would actually kiss on the first date. The guy asks our boy Robert. Robert says the number is higher, and then this happens.
Is 10. Everybody. Everybody. So it is higher. It is higher. Every one of you, I want to see you all personally backstage after the show. Sit down, you hussies. Sit down. All right, Robert. Here's the card.
I mean, hey, look, that's terrible. But that's the host.
Right, right.
It's just, this is like an indictment of the show.
No. I mean, this happens all the time.
Sure.
But it is wild to me that this monster, who would later on go on Fox News, who would give a sermon about how homosexuals should be killed, this guy is on Card Sharks in the 1980s.
That is weird.
And he is just...
Well, don't
infectious.
You, well, don't you remember when Paul Pot was on the $500,000 pyramid? Don't you remember when Charles Manson? No,
I disagree with the.
Yeah,
and he is a joy to watch on this show.
Yeah.
I promise you, go watch this episode of Card Sharks. His joy is infectious, and he is just a very genuine and real human being. This is him introducing himself.
I'd love to see like the Reverend Manning on the
Match
Bachelorette.
Game.
All right. Sorry, here's his intro.
I'm from Eastland, Texas, where I'm the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Eastland.
Oh.
That is presently, until my congregation finds out I'm out here playing cards on national television, I may have to find another line of work.
You may have some extra penance back at the chapel?
I've got a whole congregation praying for me.
That's
he's just
reasonably
TV ready.
Charming. Yeah,
he's just TV ready. This is him winning.
Yeah.
This is a supercut of him winning whenever he gets questions right.
All right.
Comes an 8.
Oh, okay. Definitely lower than
an ace. It's a 6.
What? Higher, Bill.
He's going higher than a 6. It's a 9.
Freeze.
He's going to freeze. He's going to have an answer, Robert.
Let's go lower.
He's going for it. If he is correct, he's our new champion. Lower than a 9. A 2 and an 8. New champ. New champ.
Do you hear that?
Oh, yes. Is for the match. It is!
Oh! It is!
Take that, Ric Flair.
Who knew? The champion pulled it out. That's why he's the champ.
Oh! He's done it!
He's done it! Whoa! Very good, Robbie. Very good, Robbie.
Good job, Robbie.
I don't know if you could hear it well, but all of those... All of that was him.
I couldn't. I don't know what I assumed that was, but somehow I didn't think that
was him. Yeah, that's, but everything, he's jumping up and down. He's flapping his arms back and forth, clapping. Mm-hmm. He's screaming, he's whooping. Jeffers is fucking loving it, and people love him. And he's giving, like I said, there's not much information about his early life, but there are all these weird little things that he starts giving up in the course of asking a question. Mm-hmm. They'll ask you like, we surveyed 100 people. One of them said, but how many do you think said this? And you say, well, is it 60 or more? But you have to give a personal, you know, to your tacos thing. Mm-hmm. We surveyed 100 people. How many of you had tacos last night? Well, I eat tacos every single night, and I've been doing that for 30 years, so I'm going to go with 4. Like, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
This is his biography as told through 2 episodes of Card Sharks.
Did he?
In 1986.
Was it 2 episodes he was on, or was he like a week champion? Like Jennings type?
He was on for like a week, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I could only find 2 on YouTube.
Okay.
Bill, I used to date a lot of college co-eds. That was before I was married. And, I'm convinced they were in love with more than one person at that time, so I have a lot of third graders in my congregation, and they say I have been performing a lot of wedding ceremonies lately, and I think there's a trend back to the more traditional type of marriage. I'm married, no children yet, and looking forward to another great day on Card Sharks.
Attaboy.
I do a lot of the same work as a psychiatrist in counseling people, and I think I'm a pretty good judge of character. And I would think most psychiatrists, being doctors, are pretty egotistical. I know a lot of women watch soap operas today, and some men too, and they tend to fantasize a lot. But I think I used to live in an apartment with 6 other guys, and things got pretty grungy there.
Pretty crusty over there.
Ooh. Pretty grungy.
Don't worry, that's the audio is from YouTube there, but
the I don't find anything too weird about it. I mean, it's a little grandiose. Like, I'm basically a psychiatrist.
Yep.
And they're like, I dated a lot of ladies. That's just Alex saying he fucked all the satanic cheerleaders and stuff. But
yeah, Those are the only details that I can find from anybody about his younger years.
And also, I find it dubious.
Yeah. No, I don't know how much of anything is true, but this is all stuff that he believes that's part of this. And this entire time, he is TV ready. And you see it the moment he goes on this show, because he was trained by the televangelist. Mm-hmm. He was raised to be on TV. This is a guy who is obsessed with TV. And he's like, here he is just cracking jokes. Like, he's killing.
It's congressmen in Washington, D.C. And we ask them, do you think that alien creatures from another planet have ever landed on the Earth? How many U.S. congressmen do think alien creatures have landed on the Earth?
I imagine a lot of them think they're still serving with some of them in Congress there. looking at that new TV that
Killing.
Shows what they're doing. But most of them would probably not want to admit it, even if they did believe it, because of their reputation. So I'm going to say that's going to be a low number of 22.
22 out of 100, Emma.
That's a pretty good rationalization for your guess, too.
Yeah. He's TV ready. He's direct. He's got the timing down. The host fucking loves him.
Yeah.
They are cracking jokes back and forth the entire time. Now,
he's the kind of person you'd want on there. I mean, he's against type.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's charming and charismatic. Seems to be fine in that setting, mm-hmm. though he's a preacher. You know, like, it's a unique contestant.
Yeah, absolutely. And while he's doing all of this, he is preaching the most homophobic, like, HIV is God's plan for sure. gay people. Like, this is all going on.
Somehow they didn't make it onto Card Sharks.
It's surprising, right? Yeah. All of this stuff is happening at the same time as this incredibly nice, charming, and funny guy is on TV doing what he is the best at. And like I said, I read a lot from Michael Mooney about him, and this is one of the quotes that he gives from a 2012 profile. This is Mooney speaking. In the days I spent with him, sometimes from sunrise to sunset, he convinced me that bright-eyed schoolboy persona is not an act. He decided very early on that he was a Christian, and though he has grown intellectually, he has several postgraduate degrees in theology, he has never changed his mind on anything ever. That said, he still enjoys the company of people who see the world differently.
Hmm.
That guy is very scary.
Yeah.
We are so used to disingenuous people in this world specifically that you can see why it's easy to be charmed by a guy like Dr. Robert Jeffers, because he's genuine. Like, this guy has spent, this guy is a journalist who has worked with, he's a Dallas journalist, and he's been through the whole ringer with all of these fucking liars and bullshit artists and that.
Sure.
And Jeffers absolutely charmed him. Like, without question.
Yeah.
Because he is genuine. He genuinely believes all this shit. He is open-hearted and clear-eyed whenever he says all of this awful stuff that he believes, and he can crack a joke while he's doing it. I'm only slightly exaggerating when I say that even though I know he has not committed a crime in his entire life, he is a danger society that needs to be quarantined like the fucking Joker.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is terrifying. And it's all because Criswell created him.
Okay.
That's why I know he hasn't committed any crimes or done anything like this. He was created in Criswell's lab to do all this stuff. And the reason that I thought about Jeffers is not because of his appearances on Fox News, where...
I mean, I know you're a regular watcher. I know you love Fox and Friends in particular. And Red Eye.
Ooh,
you
loved Red Eye? Those guys are so funny.
Yeah, the comedy.
They're so funny. The right is getting really good at it. The reason that I'm talking about him is because he recently got into a disagreement with a guy named Randy Robeson. Now he
was the guitarist for Quiet Riot, right?
is that his name?
Randy Rhodes.
No, it's yeah.
Check that out. It's Randy Rhodes.
Everybody's Rhodes.
Well, that's a reference to our fifth episode or something. That was 400 episodes.
All ago. Right, guys, start from the beginning.
Oof.
So Randy is
wait, it is Randy.
It
it's
is
just
Randy.
Not Rhodes. It's Robeson.
No, yeah, Robeson. It's Robeson. Sorry. Yeah. Randy.
Go ahead.
Randy Robeson is also a televangelist, but he is the son of maybe the best Southern Baptist preacher I've ever heard.
Benny Hinn.
James Robeson.
Oh.
Close. This is James Robeson. This is not from too long ago.
So this is Randy's dad.
Yeah, this is Randy's dad. This story is 40 years old, and he has honed this into a fucking knife. The story is basically, let me give you the story. This is the entire story.
Okay.
There's a carpet cleaner named Milton Green.
All right.
Milton Green invites our boy James Robeson to sit in a chair. He says, I think that you're in torment and I'm going to get rid of demons. He does that.
What a guy.
Everything's fine.
What a nice guy.
This is how the greatest Baptist preacher tells this story.
Robert and I didn't sit down in front of a carpet cleaner named Milton Green. And Milton said, would you sit in a chair? I need to pray for you. Most tormented man I ever saw. I want to say, have you read my brochures? Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know? He said, why don't you come over here and just sit in his chair and haul it in? Come sit in that chair. So help me. I promise you, I'm leaning up against the wall in the Holiday Inn bed. If I have ever seen something that looked like an execution chair, an electric chair I'm looking at, I could see stuff hanging all over. And it was like, boy, I heard it. You get in that chair, you're dead.
One of the things about that, like, the style of talking is just, like, it's so awesome that they just seem completely comfortable being out of breath.
Yeah. He's always out of breath.
Yeah.
Always out of breath.
There's something very appealing. I don't know why, because it seems unhealthy, but there's something about it that just is like, yeah. Well, maybe it's because it adds sincerity to it. It's like this is difficult. I'm digging down to try and tell you.
No, he's the runner from Marathon, literally. I'm giving you this information to save your life. That is how important this is. Here is what he's saying is a guy asked him to sit him in a chair.
Yeah.
And this is a titanic life or death struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues.
If I had ever known that charismatics ever said, would you come sit in a chair? All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't have gotten in that chair. Now, isn't that a shame how we intimidate people? Like that dog that comes in the room all beaten down. People come into church beaten down because they've been beat up by the preacher. Whip, whip, whip. They don't come in like conquerors. Like soldiers and the whole armor of God, warring against the principalities and powers, taking the shield of faith, quenching every fiery dart of the wicked. They don't lodge. They're not fiery darts. They're useless, wasteful suggestions. We ain't buying the lie.
Is there something I don't understand about this chair?
No.
Okay.
It is a folding chair.
Okay. Just making sure.
Of the kind you might imagine. Tan.
I don't understand what's aluminum. Wrong with sitting in the chair.
It is terrifying.
Okay. Cool.
What was he even talking about, right?
I mean, principalities, so he's talking about demons.
Sure.
That's about all I got.
That's about all you got.
There's a chair.
But you want to run through a fucking brick wall for this dude.
I'm not sure I'm having the same response you are.
I'm telling you, listen to this, man. He's fucking into it.
I think it's good. I think it's good in terms of, like, oratory.
Okay.
But I don't know if I'm going to run to a brick
wall.
All
right, we'll see what happens. Eventually, he sits in the chair. And now Milton Green starts the exorcism.
And Milt had to think that authority was volume because he is screaming at the devil. And he is screaming at every foul, tormenting spirit. He's yelling at lust, bondage, rejection, compulsion. He's yelling at everything. And I'm thinking, dear God, I hope these walls are thick. I said, dear God. I said, that man is talking to the devil, and I'm the only one in the room. I said, God, what if my friends find out? What if the preachers find out?
Well, I guess I didn't realize that he's talking about an exorcism.
Yeah.
I thought he was just sitting in a chair.
Yeah. There's a little bit of that.
Okay.
Neither of them actually believe in the exorcism.
That elevates the story a little bit. Oh, wait, they don't?
No.
Is that the reveal that they all think it's bullshit?
No. Later on, Milton Green, guess what he becomes? A televangelist, Dan. They are working together. Here is the way he's just killing with this story.
Yeah.
These people are eating it up. And then he ends it with this fucking kicker.
And I'm speaking to about 100 preachers in Florida. And as I begin to close like I am now, all of a sudden, a man got up from the back and he came running down to the front and he walked over to the side of the room and he grabbed a chair and he walked right up beside me and he slammed it down and he said, "Here, you're in a chair and a man prayed for you. My deacon paid my way to come 600 miles to get here. He said, here's the chair. Here I am. Set me free. Set me free." And every preacher in the room fell on their face all around him. Set us free. Set us free. Set us free.
Guy's got the chair.
Yeah. He has the power of the chair now.
Uh-huh.
This story is just him getting his demons exercised.
Right.
And then later on, he goes to a conference, and people all bring their own chair to him.
Uh-huh.
Because now he has the power to exercise demons.
Right.
This whole thing is that long journey there.
Ooh.
And it is... he fucking demolishes this room.
I'd like to see this guy on Card Sharks.
He would be amazing on Card Sharks. So James Robeson is a fascinating guy.
Right. And then his son, Randy Rhodes, from Quiet Riot.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I was looking into James Robeson, and he's a contemporary of Criswell.
Uh-huh. Wait, so dad was contemporary with the spiritual dad of...
There you go.
I've forgotten the main person's name. Because
Robert Jeffers, yeah.
So many goddamn names.
There's a few names. Yeah. I'm talking about four guys.
Right.
The first generation and the second generation.
You know what's nuts? Jeffers is the one that I am aware of already. And that's the name I couldn't
that's
remember.
That's the name you can't remember. Yeah.
Clogging my brain with Card Sharks and preachers and Dusty Rhodes references.
I'm telling you, Baptist preachers will get to your head.
It's hard to be in your seat. Too much to juggle.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. The inverse is also true. So Robeson is...
Oh, you're telling me... I'm telling me it's hard to get through information when someone interrupts you?
We do this once a year.
Right.
Robeson is coming up in the world of conservative, Randy. Charismatic preachers. James.
Okay, dad.
This is way back.
Right,
contemporary
right.
of Criswell's.
Right.
Criswell's older.
Right.
James is coming up.
I gotcha.
James is becoming, because James is the fucking preacher, he's the preacher's preacher. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the guy.
Kind of guy who's got like multiple rags to mop his brow.
Oh, yeah. He's, and he's killing it.
Somehow I imagine him being in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Basically.
Yeah.
No, so close to that. And his early career is just that. Like, he's hustling. He's going from place to place, finding little things to jump in and get more famous off of.
Find places where people have chairs.
Right. Stuff like that, yeah. Then, sometime in the mid-80s or so, he stops doing it. He doesn't stop preaching, but he stops trying to climb the conservative Christian ranks. And he just kind of almost settles and creates a modest TV empire. He creates the life that Alex wants.
Or the, like, sort of the sustainable Jim Baker?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not screwing anybody over. He's not being a good guy in the sense of, like, you know, doing anything too positive. He's got a charity that, by all accounts and purposes, is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a scam, but it's not, like, the best.
But also might be a scam.
Charity Watch and people like that have evaluated it and said it's not a scam.
I apologize for casting aspersions.
No, no problem. And he just kind of creates this stable, modern TV empire. He's got multiple talk shows. He preaches. He's not trying to get too big. He's got everything that he wants, and he stays just like a little under the radar. Like, mm-hmm. you don't know about him, right? Like,
no,
James Robeson?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Worldwide. Mm-hmm. People all over the world watch him. He's got his own channel, like all of this shit. And he, again, since the 80s, for whatever reason, has lived this life that suggests he believes what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just like Criswell created Jeffers... You correctly noted it, that James Robeson created his son, Randy Rhodes.
Well, I mean, literally.
Yeah, absolutely. But Randy is not a preacher. Randy is not a televangelist like...
He's the guitarist for Quiet Riot.
No,
I'm
damn
insisting.
It. That'd be funny. Randy is a bit of a doof. He's a nice guy. I'm kind of obsessed with him. I really am. He has his own, like, internet talk show on James Robeson's network, and it feels exactly like a televangelist giving his kind of a doof son a talk show.
Okay.
It gets downright Chris Farley show at times. Like, you'll like his guests.
Okay.
He does mainly, like, you know, reformed, born-again Christians, that kind of
stuff.
Sure, sure. He has that kind of interview. And, of course, if somebody famous becomes a born-again Christian, you get...
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. I have the heartbreak kid for you wrestling fans. You know exactly who I'm talking about, because Shawn Michaels was the face of the WWE for many years. If anybody follows wrestling, you know who this is. Shawn, welcome to Life Today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That, you know what? You are a real son of a bitch. And let me explain to you why.
Why?
Because
did you watch this video?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because you... you have introduced Shawn Michaels to the proceedings, and you didn't include his
theme
song.
Get the fuck
down. You didn't include his theme song in here.
I'm sorry.
Have you not listened to Shawn Michaels' theme song?
I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the looks. All right.
That drive the girls wild. Got the moves. They really move them. I sent you. Up and down, man. I'm just a sexy boy.
All right.
I'm not your boy toy.
It's great. It's the best.
That is the Attitude Era, isn't it? Yeah.
You know who sings that?
Randy Rhoads?
Shawn Michaels.
No, he does not.
Yeah.
He does not sing. Oh,
sings his own
shit.
Theme song.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's the best.
Now, that's not my fault. Randy should have been playing that theme
100%.
Song.
100%. If you're introducing Shawn Michaels, you got to have the doot doot.
That's bullshit.
If you're going to have Stone Cold on your theme,
yeah.
On your show,
yeah.
And you introduce him, that glass has got to break.
It's got to break.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's poor showmanship.
Well, I mean, Shawn Michaels is now a reformed, born-again Christian. So
I don't know if you know about his tag team match that he had with Vince McMahon.
Huh.
At I can't remember what pay-per-view it
like
was.
Like recently?
At. No, it was a long time ago.
Okay.
It was in the, like, maybe sometime in the 2000s.
Uh-huh.
When Shawn Michaels became a born-again Christian, it became sort of a thing in the storyline that Vince was mocking.
Mm-hmm.
Because Vince had this megalomaniacal, I'm more important than God kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so Vince, and I can't remember who his tag team partner was, but they had a tag team match with Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels' tag team partner was God.
The literal God?
Well, they did have...
Was it invisible?
They had to have a spotlight. I don't remember.
Sometimes wrestling's great.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's great. You just got to admit it.
One of the more goofy things that, I mean, as Shawn Michaels is, like, you know, definitely, you know, coming to the faith.
Yeah.
Allowing it to be portrayed that way in television seems very weird.
Hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, he was a dude who had, like, some drug problems.
Yeah.
And,
you know. Totally.
It's one of those things, like, that's a pretty good route for him to go down as opposed to dying.
Right. So, of course, he wrote a book, and he goes on Randy Robeson's show.
I didn't know he wrote a book.
Yeah.
Probably about how he's a sexy boy.
There, it is not. It is all of it. It's, this interview is really boring, but it has one of my favorite. Like, I've watched so many. All of Randy's interviews are incredibly boring, even when they're interesting. But he is a genuinely curious person who's also a bit of a dupe. Like, this is him asking Shawn Michaels a big question.
What is sweet chin music?
Close.
You remember the arena where you said goodbye to everybody?
I do. It was in Phoenix.
That Phoenix arena.
Yes.
You said something that struck me in that whole bit. For one, you were obviously touched, you know, you're ending a significant time of your life. You're thanking the fans. You made a statement. You said, the only time I like me was when I was out here. In other words, you made me like me.
Yes.
When I was, what does that mean?
Well, you know,
you're being unfair.
I love that question.
It's a pretty decent question.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I love this
that's
guy.
That's not doofy.
No, I mean, just the way he goes.
I mean, he probably could have framed it a little better.
What does that mean?
Yeah, it is a little direct.
Yeah. That's a Chris Farley show question, for sure.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a doof, but he's a genuine guy.
Mm-hmm.
He seems really nice.
I would have preferred to ask what it meant when Shawn Michaels lost his smile.
He's not sharing that curiosity.
Damn. Shawn Michaels, super kicking people, speech and music. Great finishing move Shawn Michaels has.
What was that?
Sweet chin music.
No, yeah,
it's
yeah,
a big kick
right.
to the chin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what he would do is you'd be like coming up. You'd get knocked down on this side of the ring.
Uh-huh.
You'd be
would you get up again?
You'd be getting up. You'd be struggling to get up. And as you're slowly getting up, he'd be in the corner at the turnbuckle, and he'd stomp his foot.
You know, like a bull. Like a bull.
Well, to give like the audience, like, you know it's coming.
Oh, okay, okay.
They call that tuning up the band.
Oh, no.
You tune up the band and then hit you with the sweet chin music.
And then right when you were finally standing up, that's when the kick would come right, to, your
right to your chin.
Right to your chin.
And then, just a sexy boy. It's a good theme song.
It does.
I turned the corner on it. I used to think it was pretty lame.
Yeah.
When I was younger.
I hesitate to give you my opinion.
I don't know. He showed up at a WrestleMania a couple years back out of nowhere, and boy, I celebrated pretty huge when that theme song came on in a way that I didn't even expect myself to. I'm not even a huge Shawn Michaels fan. But
interesting.
Gets you excited.
Nostalgia.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, just like the reason that he has Shawn Michaels and those types of guests on there is because,
probably a bunch of wrestlers.
Not that many wrestlers.
There's a lot of ones who have come around to like being pretty religious.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, like Lex Luthor. Not Lex Luthor. Lex Luger.
Luthor.
Lex Luger was on the 700 Club.
Okay.
And I almost did an episode. I think I might have done like a half episode.
Well, isn't Kane a born again now too?
No, he's a libertarian and the mayor of...
Right.
can't remember the city. But he's the $1 million man to Ted DiBiase was on the 700 Club. There's been a number of wrestlers who have come on like Pat Robertson's show.
Ah.
So I just would have assumed that maybe this guy just cycles through wrestlers.
It might be. I didn't see too many with wrestlers, but that one was funny. And
I'm going to go look through his guest list, and there's going to be a bunch of people.
Sure.
You didn't realize Tugboat was a pro wrestler?
That's probably true. Yeah. If they're not using, because they might not even have used their stage names on his show.
Episode Irwin P. Scheister. Irwin R. Scheister, excuse me. IRS.
How dare you?
IRS. Yeah.
Oh, man.
He was a tax guy.
Of course he was. Yep. Yes, naturally. I think I got it. I think I guessed that one ahead
of time. Wrestler. CPAs, man. I really derailed you. I apologize.
No, you're doing great. But the reason that he has like guys like Shawn Michaels on is because he fancies himself something of a bad boy.
Oh, sexy boy?
He's a little bit.
Not your boy,
a little bit. This is the type of shit that he really wants to get into.
In Green Bay, Wisconsin. And he's got a new book called Battle Over. Yes, The Battle Over Rules. And he's going to talk about that on Live Today. Check that out at livetoday.org. But for this particular interview, you're fortunate enough to be watching the bonus interviews where we can go out of the bounds a little bit. We're going to discuss the topic that was rejected for the broadcast show because it was just a little over the lines. And I've got a prop here. We're going to talk about, and I did not tell him this, we're going to talk about the bead method.
Yes.
This is your.
We actually pitched that to your, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you did.
I'm sure they would have gotten shot down.
They said, no, we're not going to discuss that.
Is this anal beads?
Close to.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So
I thought I was going to say that. It was going to be a joke. And it's going to be like, no, it's crafting or something like that. Okay.
Nope.
Dude actually straight up on. Okay. That is a little bit edgy for this Christian television station.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He definitely, he gets away with saying like, we're going to do something a little fucked up because it is.
Well, it's not quite anal beads. It's in a marriage, this pastor has this idea of like, okay, we all need to have sex.
Right.
But it's tough to have sex when you're older, and sometimes people don't want to do it. So we created this bead method, which is like a barter system. Like, here's some beads. Now we fuck for a while. Then you're done.
I'm out.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, not that ribald anymore. This isn't that exciting.
Nope.
Not as controversial.
Uh-uh.
This is just transactional sex
within a marriage. You nailed
this
it.
This is bad.
And that subject was rejected for the broadcast show.
I would reject that too.
Of course.
From my own show.
But he's just obsessed with being this like kind of a bad boy in this world. Like, so he of course has written a shit ton of books like everybody else in this world. But unlike most people, one of his books was fiction. It's called Skeva, or I don't know how to pronounce it. It's S-C-E-V-A. And here is the blurb for it that was Let me see if you can find out who wrote this blurb for him, okay? In this supernatural thriller, the seven deadly sins threaten to destroy the lives of seven Bible college students after an ill-advised attempt to cast a demon out of a man. Now you can read the book praised by publishers as, quote, intense, a great read, and, quote, strong writing, but rejected for being too edgy for Christian readers.
Who wrote the review?
Who do you think?
I have two guesses.
Okay.
Shawn
First
Michaels.
Guess. Nope.
Dad.
No. Oh. It was him.
Oh.
He wrote his own blurb. Yeah. Nah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course he did.
Trick question.
I kind of love him.
I also would have guessed the host of Card Sharks, but I couldn't remember who hosted that.
I think it was, now I can't remember. It's like a Bill Mitchell, something along those lines.
No, Bill Mitchell's a QAnon guy.
Yeah, yeah, a different Bill Mitchell. But this guy and Robert Jeffers are both second generation televangelists.
Yeah.
And my
God damn it. That's so weird to think about.
Isn't it?
Yeah. That's a legacy business.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean it makes sense. It just took me aback for a second to think, like, you know, hearing about one of them, yeah, it's whatever. But right. Like hearing multiple, like then think about, like, well,
I mean, Jim Baker's kids are
they do
all
the announcing.
Work. Exactly.
That's not the same thing as like running their own thing.
Right.
That's it's tough. Yeah. It's tough. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's gross.
And it's in within these.
But
two...
it's also very similar to how wrestling works. A lot
it
of
is.
Second generation,
this
a lot of third generation
all,
wrestlers.
This is all TV.
Right.
Like any comparison to TV is what these guys are, all TV creation.
Sure.
And their eyes are all for TV and stuff like that. And it's between these two second generation televangelists that I try and explain the question, why does the religious right support Trump no matter what? Why is that? Because I see that article written 300 million times over and over and over again, right? Why are these supposedly moral, upstanding people supporting a monster like Trump? It doesn't make any sense to people. And I will give you these two characters, two second-generation televangelists, to try and explain it away.
Randy Rhodes and...
Robert Jeffers.
Jeffers.
Yeah.
All right.
So...
One of them, the bad boy.
Yes.
One of them, the pristine article.
Exactly.
Huh.
Yeah.
You know what?
Which one do you think is worse, though?
Probably the pristine article.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What do you feel about Randy so far?
I mean, anybody who's hanging out with Shawn Michaels can't be all bad.
He's not a bad guy.
I don't know. That's not actually true. Shawn Michaels has some pretty shitty friends, mostly wrestlers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't really get a sense of him from the like limited amount of information I have. I mean, I know like his dad seems to be a guy who likes to have exorcisms on chairs and is a classic old school
classic
huckster type preacher. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
he seems reformed though.
The sins of the father aren't bestowed upon the son in my conception. So
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I got no idea. I need more information.
Well, as far as his vocal patterns and all that stuff goes,
he seems way less gifted.
Yeah. Again, compared to these other guys.
But at the same time, he's talking like a person.
Yes.
So there's it's not as gifted in the genre.
Right.
But there is more of there's also a relatability about someone who speaks like, well, what about this thing that, you know, like people like that.
Totally.
There's a lot of people who talk real fucking stupid on podcasts who people like.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, and I like him. I genuinely do. I mean, I don't know what he's like in his private life, but everything that I see through all of this stuff is just him, like he's just a guy. He's a guy who believes in all of this Christian stuff and he's struggling within this confines. There's this like constant push and pull with him between what he is told by mainstream conservative Christians like Dr. Robert Jeffers and what he thinks is a moral stance. He doesn't believe in the same God that Richard Jeffers believes in. Mm. Not even close. They are, of course, friends, and Randy basically agrees with everything that Robert Jeffers says. But anytime you get that little bright spot of him like, well, I don't think we should be evil to gay people, but you can, like, it's that over and over and over again, these little bits of him coming really close to saying like, I don't believe what you believe, and then just being like, well, you sound right, let's go. That kind of thing.
Hmm.
This, the reason that I'm talking about these two guys is because I came upon Randy putting out a live stream entitled Does Evil Reign, which is based on an interview he recently did with Dr. Jeffers.
Oh, I thought it was with...
Shawn Michaels. No,
I thought it was with the Acolytes.
It's actually Randy Rhoads. No.
It was with Gangrel, who was a literal vampire demon from...
What?
What? You don't know about Gangrel?
How would I know about Gangrel? He's a literal vampire demon?
Well, from wrestling, yeah, kayfabe.
Was, well, I understand that.
This guy would spit blood at people. Okay. He had vampire teeth.
All right.
Gangrel, he came around. He was a vampire, and he would, the lights would go out, and then there'd be candles and flames.
Sure, he'd rise
out of the on the stage.
Right.
He was hanging out with originally the Brood. That was Edge and Christian. Right. There is two sort of enforcers.
Okay. Edge and Christian, who later on went to have their own.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Very successful.
Very successful. Yeah.
Dudes. Tag team and both world champions in their own right.
Of course.
So they fucked around, and then Edge and Christian were with Gangrel, and then they left, and then Matt and Jeff Hardy became the new Brood.
Yeah.
Who hung out with Gangrel, and then everyone's like, we shouldn't hang out with Gangrel. That guy is lame.
That's not good.
He thinks he's a vampire. I wish wrestling went like that. Just wrestlers talking.
They just suddenly started. They broke kayfabe the moment that it was time to. Just
You keep half kayfabe.
You're
still your own character, but I don't think that guy's a vampire.
If they just introduced that new wrinkle,
I've never seen him drink blood.
That's like in Ocean's 12 when Julia Roberts plays a character that looks like Julia Roberts. Where you're fucking with me, and I don't like
that
it,
introduction
sir.
Of half reality is worse than
yeah. How dare you tell me that you think he might not be a vampire? We all know that.
Yeah, I think it might be fun though.
That would be fun.
Only in the world of kayfabe.
Yeah. If you were to disagree, though, you would probably have a better conversation than the way that Randy disagrees here.
Oh, yeah?
This is Randy introducing the idea of disagreeing with Dr. Jeffers.
And it's not real nice when you invite people into your facility, onto your show, and you just argue with them. It's kind of rude. At the flip side of that is if they say something that I disagree with and I don't say anything, people assume that I'm in agreement with them. And so I'm always having to measure, does that rise to the level that I need to say something? And if you watch closely, you'll see sometimes when they say something, I might politely push back and say, is it this or is it this? And,
that sounds like an adult.
Yep.
Yeah, that just seems like a... Yeah.
He's a nice guy. This is him politely, going through this. He's like, I'm doing a show. I don't want to be ungracious. But at the same time, if I disagree with somebody, I want to be polite. And then I'm going to measure whether or not I need to say something.
And if I don't say anything, he's recognizing that there is a tacit understanding that the audience has. That you must agree with it. Otherwise, you would have said something.
Absolutely.
That's recognizing your responsibilities.
Yeah, listen to that.
Yeah,
isn't that refreshing?
I don't know if it's refreshing.
It feels refreshing to me.
It's very different.
Yeah. Now, this is him going out of his way to, even when he does disagree with Robert Jeffers, to point out that he's like, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to do any.
Just know that I mean zero disrespect to Dr. Jeffers as I offer you an alternate view of things. But I want to bring his view because it is probably the dominant view in evangelical churches right now. And the other thing is, I'm not convinced that I'm 100% right all the time. I feel like I'm constantly learning, which is why I love having all these people in here and getting to kind of tap their brains. And sometimes I push on some of the more difficult issues because I'm sitting there learning, and I think that that's good for an audience to watch and learn.
That's pretty humble.
Yep. Now, who are we talking about in contrast with that guy? The guy who has never been wrong once in his entire life.
Talk about Jeffy Babes.
Oh, yeah. This is what Jeffers sounds like on this show.
Well, I don't know what you drive. I don't know if the stereotypical Texas thing is a pickup truck. So let's say you have a pickup. I'm guessing you don't have one of those coexist bumper stickers?
My wife actually almost got me one as a joke, because if there is anything that is the opposite of my worldview, it's that coexists. So she almost put it on my bumper.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a good joke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His worldview is the opposite of coexist. Mm-hmm. He is 100% right about everything. He has no interest in your opinion. He has no interest in anything you have to say. That is why he is so dangerous and evil. Mm-hmm. And that is also why Randy is a different person.
Right.
Randy is humble and curious. He wants to know. He has his own opinions, but at the same time, he's always trying to learn.
Yeah.
That is the difference between these. This is the war in Christianity as far as I see it. Hmm. And it is being won by Robert Jeffers. Like, and again, Randy has won me over. Like, here's Randy talking about a certain difference in philosophy he has with Robert Jeffers.
Okay, so he starts with a C.S. Lewis quote, which I love C.S. Lewis. And he points out that we are in a battle. Well, if you don't know this by now, then I'll just tell you. We are in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's a common mistake, I think, that people make, even Christians, thinking that, oh, you over there, you're my enemy. No. No. It's spiritual, okay?
Right, but I think a lot of people take that to be like it's a spiritual battle and I'm against your spirit.
Right. Absolutely.
And I don't feel like that's what he's saying. But those same words delivered slightly differently are exactly what you hear from Alex.
Yep.
But it doesn't have the same feeling.
Uh-uh.
And also, I want to say this. He doesn't like C.S. Lewis. I heard that so much back when I went to church. None of those assholes ever read Mere Christianity, The Problem of Pain.
No.
None of those motherfuckers were reading C.S.
They
went, Lewis.
They read Out of the Silent Planet once and they called it a day.
They read a couple of fucking paragraphs and they're like, good enough. Oh, I like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe because I understand it deeper because I read all this other. No, yeah. You didn't. Get the fuck out of here, K-Life leader, and read shit.
Christians love to say they love C.S. Lewis.
I'm nitpicking because I do appreciate the tone and what I see from him in there, but I still don't believe that he likes C.S. Lewis.
No, I don't know.
That shit is dense and not fun
to read.
Have
you ever read the Out of the Silent Planet trilogy?
No. No, I've read a number of his Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe work.
His essays.
But not that. I'm unaware of that.
The second book in that trilogy is essentially a retelling of Genesis, but it's Adam and Eve on Venus.
Oh.
And it is essentially a retelling of Genesis, and it is so much longer and so much more boring. Mm-hmm. It is I amazed myself whenever I read it because it's so boring. And then the third book.
Weird to have a space religion be more boring than
yeah,
regular.
I know, right? Yeah. Right? And then the third book is just unreadable. Mm-hmm. It's awful.
But I think that's kind of the same with even the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe ones. Like, no one read past, like, the maybe.
Man, Voyage of the Dawn Treader was actually a really good book. Yeah. I remember loving that book.
No one read A Horse and His Boy. No,
I read A Horse and His Boy. I read all of them. I read Silver Chair.
I don't know if.
Oh, man, Silver Chair was terrible.
Most people didn't read all of them. They're just like, I love fucking Turkish Delight.
Yeah.
Good for
you. See, now that's the thing. I was one of those kids in church who loved C.S. Lewis because I'd read all of his. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Right. Voyage of the Dawn Treader is like the second one, right?
It's the fourth
third?
One? I want to say it's the fourth
one. I can't remember the order.
Prince Caspian's the second one, yeah.
Silver Chair, maybe?
Might be five.
I don't know.
I want to say it's five. Last Battle is second in the trilogy. but yeah, listen to the way this dude is putting everything. It is this idea of like, He is hearing the same words that Jeffers is saying, just like you put it, you know? You say it a little bit differently, and it's exactly what Alex says.
Right.
But he means it in the, I don't know, a more genuine way.
I hear what he's saying when he's saying it's a spiritual battle, meaning within your own spirit.
Yeah.
You are having the test is within all of us, and you have a responsibility to fight this battle within yourself, to rise to the occasion.
Absolutely.
And that's the battle. when I hear Alex talk about we do not fight against flesh and blood, it's a spiritual battle, I hear him saying kill that person because there's a demon in him.
You got it.
Yeah, that's it's a big difference, but it is the same intrinsic idea.
Right.
Or not intrinsic idea. It's the same words being used to express different things.
Absolutely.
That's
exactly it.
But I don't see I feel like I'm hearing this, and maybe I have way too generous an opinion of this dude because it's the way you're presenting it. I'm worried about that, but I'm trusting you.
I mean, well, Dan, I guess it's easier to have a negative opinion of somebody with very little information about them than to have a positive opinion with only a few.
I mean,
clips.
You just told me about this guy, and you buttered me up by having the Shawn Michaels.
I know.
So, like, this could be a trap.
It could be. As far as I can tell, he believes. Here's my thing about him, and this is the thing that I was really struggling with while I was thinking of this idea, which is like, I've known my parents. I know that they do not want people in cages at the border, but I don't understand how they can justify it to themselves. And I know that Randy is that same type of Christian that I can hear it in everything he says and everything he does. I've watched all of those over and over again.
He's your parents' version of Christian.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He is that person. And I think the large majority of Christians, I think the large majority of them do not want that.
Right.
But they are trapped. They are trapped by guys like Dr. Robert Jeffers. And here's another thing. Here's what's going to endear you to Randy, I think, a little bit more. He's live streaming this. So there are people in the Twitch chat.
Oh, sure. And he's on Twitch?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. There are people in the Twitch chat.
Is he like playing Dark Souls?
A little bit. He might
well,
as well
kind
be.
Of. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say. But again, this is how this dude responds to trolls showing up in his chat.
Welcome all you trolls on Twitch. I see you guys out there. And you're welcome to listen. That's why I'm on Twitch. You're not going to buy.
Well,
yeah, he's good. A nice guy.
Well, I mean, like, also that even if he wasn't a nice guy, that's the right move.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Trolls are going to come up more frequently, though.
They're always going to exist. And, you know, like if you just have that approach, then like people don't get a rise out of you. They don't get what they want. You just yell at somebody and you're going to end up attracting, like, it's fun. We could poke him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Good on him for knowing that, at least. Or even if it's just, like, instinctual knowing that.
Right.
Good on him.
He continues to deal with trolls throughout the live stream. And it is very funny how I just don't know how more just, like, a kind of, like, general doofy good dude could react than the way that he does. It's just like this general sense of a guy who's just like, I'm satisfied with my life. I'm trying to do what I think is right. And you guys are being mean. And you know what? It's your right to be mean. And I understand. And he's doing that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then later on, he gets into my favorite recurring bit on his show is he writes books.
Sure.
And no one knows about it, and no one has read them, and no one really believes that he writes them. So in so many of these interviews, you wind up having a situation like this, where he does this.
Interview, when he dinged the idea of happiness, that I said, well, you haven't read my book called God Wants You to Be Happy. And he laughed because he thought I was joking, because I do joke. I'm not joking. I wrote a book called God Wants You to Be Happy. Now,
you know, it would be a great bit.
What?
If he had never written a book.
Yeah.
And he's like, everyone thinks I'm joking about writing a book, but that's the joke.
Right.
That would be awesome.
This happens like three or four. Like, I watched maybe 10 of these.
Do you have any insight on why no one believes you wrote a book?
I don't know. No, I don't know if anybody's ever actually published it physically.
Well, and sure. I mean, but a lot of people self-publish.
And I definitely don't think anybody
Doesn't
knows
his dad
about
have
this
a
guy.
Publishing outlet?
Yeah.
So he probably published it.
Maybe. It's not good. But this happens. There's an interview with another woman who wrote
that's super weird as an accusation. Or like, how much do you think of that is actually people thinking he hasn't written a book, and how much is him being insecure about his book sales?
So much both.
That other people don't think he's written a book.
It happens over and over and over.
It's very
again.
Weird.
He brought it up on one interview. This woman wrote a book about how Christian women need to understand that men like to look at women and that it's not a bad thing. And that interview gets weird and horny. And Randy's like, I'm glad I'm not a teenager anymore, like doing all kinds of weird stuff in there. And then eventually he's like, oh, happiness. I wrote about happiness in my book.
Well, God wants you to be happy.
Yeah. And she just goes, I'm sorry, what? You did? No, I wrote a book about happiness. Oh, over and over and over again. Mm. This happens in almost every interview. It is very funny. So yeah, the disagreement that Randy and Robert have is on happiness. Mm-hmm. That's what Randy is saying that it's about right here.
Uh-huh.
He wrote a book called God Wants You to Be Happy. Robert does not even, I don't even know if Robert believes in happiness, this kind of thing. That's the fundamental.
And God certainly does not want it.
Right, right. Now, Randy is a doofy guy who just wants to live and let live. And this is the type of stuff he does agree with. This is how he deals with trolls and that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm. We've known these Christians, unfortunately. Belinda says she takes pleasure in looking at flowers. And you know, I'll tell you something interesting. I studied the Reformation a bit because I didn't really get that education in school. And one thing that the Catholics and those who were protesting the Catholic Church didn't argue about, because they agreed on it, was that God reveals himself through nature. So Belinda, I 100% agree with you. I take pleasure in the mountains. You know, I love to snow ski, and I stand up there, and if you're at Keystone or Breckenridge, you can see the Continental Divide for miles and miles and miles. And I'm like, this is the most beautiful temple in the world, God's creation. So yes, 100%. Judy?
He might have read C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I was wrong to judge too harshly. Yeah, because I mean that is true. That is a belief of you know, like if you've never heard the name of Christ and you'd recognize him through nature,
yeah,
that is salvation. You know,
like, absolutely,
that is good enough. That
right.
is a position that a lot of schools of Christianity have held.
Right, and he's getting a little bit trolled with like I like nature, like that
maybe,
kind of thing.
Maybe
it's
I didn't interpret that as a troll.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought that might be a sincere comment that someone was making. I like to look at flowers.
I think that honestly is very in line with what
someone might say.
Right. No, I think Belinda pops up later on.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't
have that context, so
yeah,
I'm sorry.
My bad. This is before Belinda pops in. But that's what he's doing. He's very simple. He's doing this is what we agree on. Mm-hmm. And here's where we disagree, and there are more trolls coming in here.
I'm getting trolled hard today. This is funny. About time. The trolls have left me alone for way too long. Okay, so here's the part where Dr. Jefferson and I have a disagreement, and this is where I want your input, constructive input, please. I'll just ignore it if it's just trolling. But and this is, it kind of goes to eschatology. In other words, how we view the future. And the dominant in the evangelical churches is a futuristic view. In other words, things are going to get worse and worse and worse before they get better. And this is where I actually just don't agree. I was raised that way, but I don't agree anymore. And we're going to get into it.
Yeah.
So he doesn't believe in the progression towards good.
Right.
The downward progression to sharp uptick.
Exactly.
That's good.
Randy is a chill guy, and he's pretty much like, he sounds so much Bob Rossi to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like so much of that, just like, I like to look at the mountains, like that
That's
kind
the
of
greatest
feel.
Temple.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The religious show, Bob Ross.
Yeah, yeah, basically. And what he is getting to is that when he says that eschatology is the fundamental disagreement, he's not even getting to the reality of it. This is the fundamental disagreement, and he thinks it's just them disagreeing about happiness.
Because he allegedly wrote a book about it.
Right. I have not read it. He may not have written it.
It might not exist.
It might not exist. I went to his website, and it's there. You can buy it on Amazon.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that
You didn't go
anything.
Through to the cart.
I'm not going
to
buy the cart. But he thinks they're talking about happiness. He thinks they're talking about happiness and whether or not you're supposed to be happy or you're supposed to wait until God, you know, replaces the world or whatever.
Right.
What they are actually talking about is the literal replacement of the world. Like, here is Dr. Jeffers. This is what his argument is on the side of eschatology.
This world is not the world as God intended it to be, and this world is not the world that it will always be. There is a new world coming. But until that time, evil is going to have reign over this world.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that sounds like a lot of the religious things I've
right.
heard.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Now,
this is
difference.
The imperfect meat world.
Sure, sure. The difference here is what we get back into. The words can mean different things.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jeffers is not talking about how the, you know, eventually the world, Satan's going to reign and then God will replace the world and all of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeffers is actually talking about how he wants to replace the world.
Mm-hmm.
Criswell's idea of a Christian separatist compound, the main goal of that was to create a completely separate Christian world, right?
That would eventually grow to be the world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, he could not do that, and what he realized was that that was not possible, and it wasn't going to be possible to be left alone
mm-hmm.
unless you are the only thing. So he created Dr. Jeffers, and this is the reason that I find him so terrifying is, and it goes back to Randall Balmer wrote an article in Politico about the creation of the Christian separatist movement and how people always talk about Roe v. Wade as being the inciting factor to getting the Christian right to mobilize and turn into what they
certainly
are.
Certainly inciting.
Right.
But yeah.
What it was born out of, though, was the court decision in Green v. Kennedy, which later became Green v. Connolly when Connolly became the Secretary of the Treasury. This happened about 5 to 10 years before Roe v. Wade. The situation boils down to this. If you segregate your private schools, you do not get tax exempt status.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right.
The end. And the goal for Criswell, whether or not it was racial segregation, the goal has always been to completely segregate Christians away from everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So they took that idea of they're going to make us become public schools. And they turned that with Jerry Falwell and Bob Jones and all of those guys into this. And then they teamed up with Weyrich's burgeoning Heritage Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
All of these guys turn into what the right is today.
All of it just like knee jerk and awful reactions to notions of civil rights.
Right. With one main goal. And that is creating a completely white Christian theocracy.
Mm-hmm.
That is the purpose of this. And that is what Jeffers was raised to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when he starts talking about how, you know, this world is not the world of God, like that kind of stuff. And we need, he's not talking about waiting for God to come back.
And he's not talking about the world of God either.
Uh-uh. He wants
it's
his
code.
World.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is interesting. I don't know how much of it is just like intrinsic suspicion of things, but like it does feel different. Mm-hmm. Like even without your presentation, I think I would hear him say those things,
mm-hmm.
Jeffers say those things differently than Randy Rhodes.
Right.
But it's
Robinson.
What? I disagree. it's interesting. It's I think what it speaks to is the inherent neutrality of religion itself. Like, because these people are both expressing like really religious ideas.
Oh yeah,
and one of them is expressing them in a way that's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah,
and the other one is saying fairly similar kinds of things. Like, oh no,
that are 180 degrees.
Oh no,
yeah, yeah.
It's about what's packaged on it,
right?
That really is the what becomes a problem,
right? And Randy is absolutely of, like, they're both raised second-generation televangelists. They both have this incredibly intense religious education. Both of them can toss out anytime. They all have that televangelist way of talking where it's like, say words, Hebrews 9:18, words, you know, that whole thing. They can all pull quotes from memory. Neither one of them has any greater command of the Bible than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them say almost exactly the same thing, and both of them disagree on everything. And Randy is the only one who doesn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that fascinates me about all this. So basically, the disagreement they're having is that Dr. Jeffers wants to get rid of this word.
I like that you're giving him the honorific, Dr. Jeffers.
I mean, he's a doctor. He's got a doctor in theology. Yeah. I don't know. I go back and forth between just calling him Robert Robbie. Jeffers or Dr.
Bobby.
Jeffers. Big Bob. But yeah, to your point, I find him so terrifying because the guy who is trying to be the bad boy is calm, quiet, humble, caring.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who is the pristine, never been in trouble, always enthusiastic, that guy waving around and so happy all the time is a tool created by a guy who wants to build a Christian theocracy.
Yeah.
And so now he is that perfect tool for Trump. It is almost like Jeffers was created by Criswell to be used by the first fascist dictator that could show up in order to solidify the Christian right. And because Jeffers is genuine and brilliant and real, and Trump is a lying piece of shit, Jeffers is going to trick Trump, essentially, into creating it as a Christian fascist dictatorship instead of just a regular one. He is terrifying. His side of Christianity is literally, the world is, we need to end the world in order to create our world.
Uh-huh.
And then on the other side, you have Randy Robison, dealing with trolls, loving his life. And this is just like, I listened to this clip and I was just like, this is the guy that I think of whenever I think of like the Christianity that I somewhat admire a little bit. Like, listen to this.
Charlie says that Satan rules because Charlie cannot spell Satan. And he's telling me God doesn't exist. Here's your problem, Charlie. You might as well tell me my wife doesn't exist.
Satan does rule.
Satan rules because you don't know how to spell Satan. He doesn't even have that. Like, he doesn't even have that. You don't know. It's just you don't know how to spell Satan.
Yeah, it's not even a dunk.
Yeah,
it's
no.
Just, yeah.
Right. Hey, you're trying to tell me God isn't real? Tell that to my wife. Like, it's so much just this benign kind of this guy.
It's even that. Like, the way you were saying that is a zing.
Yeah, it's still no. He's not even doing that.
He's just trying to say, like, yeah, God exists in the same way my wife does.
Yeah.
Learn to spell.
Yeah, he's just a nice guy. I think, to me, like, in my experience, because I've spent so much time in Christian worlds, and so have you, I know Jeffers. I've seen that guy everywhere. But the large majority of people that I've met in so many congregations is Randy.
I would agree with that.
That kind of thing. Yeah. And so whenever people talk about why is it that, you know, Christians follow Trump, I see it as a function of this kind of
schism.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Dichotomy?
And the guy who trained the fascist was maybe the best televangelist at the time.
And he the guy who trained guy, the chill guy, his
was
dad,
the guy.
Was the guy who like just sort of kept a low profile
exactly.
and did his business.
Yep.
Well, you're bumming me out.
Yeah, I know, right? And it's not because Jeffers is so good at using the same words that Christians use to mean positive things and twisting them into something horrific, all the while believing it's good. Like, that's why he's such a powerful tool, is because Criswell got him at such a young age and controlled every aspect of his life. And I'm sure, you know, yada, 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 whatever about his own motivations. But it's fairly clear that if you're captured by Criswell and taken under his wing personally at 7 years old, you're not going to be unaffected by that.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough course correction.
Yeah.
At very least.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. And
they're not fully developed and you're being, you know, bombarded with a lot of like really heavy stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be hard to process the stuff that's coming in addition to adolescence, growing up.
Yep.
And yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, and it's from the guy who's the best at it. Like, Criswell is a brilliant cult leader. To the point where, like, the closest analog for Criswell and Jeffers that I can think of is L. Ron Hubbard and Miscavige. Mm. Like, that's the type of shit we're dealing with right here. Jeffers believes all of this to the point where it's indistinguishable from reality. Like, it's amazing to me. But most people, like, and here's what I'm saying again with Randy kind of having that sense of, I know something's not right here, mm-hmm. but I don't know why I'm fighting it. Like in this clip right here.
In the futurist view, we believe that a new world is coming. Jesus will come and set up his kingdom on earth, and then there will be no more evil. Here's my question for you guys, and here's the disagreement that I would have with the futurist view, which Dr. Jeffers does hold to. And that is, when I look at what Jesus did and his work on the cross, I believe that he gave us everything we need to establish his kingdom here on earth.
Okay. His kingdom here on earth is already ready to go.
Yep. Yep. Randy wants to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Randy thinks we have the tools to make the world a better place.
Huh. Well, I mean, I guess that is the difference in the definition of, like, what the promise of the cross was.
Yeah.
Is the promise already fulfilled in the act of the crucifixion and resurrection, mm-hmm. or is it contingent on some future event?
Yeah. Yeah.
That does seem to be a profound difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of opinion. I don't know. That's tough. I mean, I'm always down for the religion that takes the shape of things that will create a better world for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, without knowing any of the other stuff that he believes, because I really feel like there might be stuff I don't know about that's really fucked up.
No, no, no. Here's the thing, though. That's, again, that gets to my point exactly. I will guarantee, no, I know. Randy believes in, obviously, like, conservative right-wing bullshit. He will say it, he'll repeat it, and it's just so clear to me that what underpins his beliefs have him saying that stuff in order to stay in lockstep with the people that he thinks are his teachers. All of these people goes into that kind of second generation televangelist. The difference between them is Randy is like, he was raised in this, he knows the language, he knows what he's supposed to believe. And there's a part of him that is fighting against it. There's a part of him somewhere that's like, I know it's bad to do this, but I'm told by guys I respect, guys who are the kings of the world, the leader of the biggest, of the first megachurch right now. He's telling me that this is what we have to say. This is what we have to believe. That kind of shit.
I mean, was it Criswell or Jeffers who started their speech off by saying... the evils of liberalism.
That's Criswell.
Yeah, so he taught Jeffers, mm-hmm. and he wasn't necessarily the mentor for Randy Rhodes. So it makes sense. I mean, like, the rejection of liberalism and the rejection of, like, a humanist perspective is going to ultimately lead towards not recognizing a united society.
Absolutely.
It's going to always err towards utopianism in the future of, like, we're going to create this perfect thing.
Right.
Once this liberalism, where people have freedom of choice and they can sin, mm-hmm. they're allowed to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Once we're free of that. Yeah. It would make sense that dude, the dude who is sort of mentored by that guy, would be far more down that side.
Yeah.
Than someone else.
And he's far more effective. Like, this is what's amazing to me is that Jeffers is trained as a weapon. Jeffers was weaponized from a young age. And it's very clear that Randy was just raised in the church. Like, that is so much the difference to me between the two of them. Jeffers is here to remake all of Christianity in Criswell's image. And Randy is here because his dad is a televangelist.
And he got a little gig.
And he got a little gig.
And he can talk to Shawn Michaels.
Oh, and here's the other thing. Like, Randy's on Randy's website, which is very cute. It is essentially an Angel Fire page. It's very funny. He has these little like devotionals and stuff that he's written before. There's like five things that he's written. Almost all of them are about TV. He just loves TV. He's like, here's how we can make Christian TV shows. You watch TV shows, and when they're Christian, you're like, these TV shows suck.
Yeah.
Here's what we can do to make them better, and that kind of stuff. This guy just wants to work in TV.
Mm-hmm.
He has no idea. He just loves TV and shit. Like, that's what he was raised up loving.
You should go hook up with Jim Baker.
Absolutely. And I think Randy sums up my views on Jeffers pretty easily right here.
Craig says, Satan is a bully, 100%. And here's the thing you got to know. He's a liar. He's full of crap. Can I say that? I just did.
That's cute.
That's the bad boy.
Yeah.
That's Randy the Rebel. Can I say crap? Can I say that?
Can I say that on Twitch?
God, I know Randy. I know so many Randys.
Yeah, he seems quaint.
Yeah. He's very cute.
Yeah.
He's dumb. And he's going to get eaten alive by Dr. Jeffers every fucking time.
Well, I mean, probably, yeah. I mean, if there ever is call for a head-to-head confrontation.
This was as close to the call for a head-to-head confrontation as you can get.
When was this from?
A couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
we're staying.
Keep your eyes on this space.
Exactly. It's still
developing the story. Might have to do a part two on that. I don't know. This is interesting. I don't know what I think about this. I get criticized a lot for not being like more aggressively atheist in my positions and like anti-religion.
Yeah,
my background would suggest I should be, as is yours.
Right. And you heard me, a very stringent anti-atheist, slowly and gently, very stringent atheist, not anti-atheist, slowly and gently fall in love with the Bob Ross of Christianity.
Right.
Like, this guy is what I've always thought that Christianity like wants to be. And he is in thrall. That's what I think of.
So you subscribe to his Twitch, I'm guessing.
No, God, no. Absolutely not. He's so boring. I swear, he is so boring.
It's because he didn't say horrible things.
That's what I'm saying. That's why he loses.
Right.
It's why he loses. Like, and it's
why, I mean, we go back to the wrestling thing. Like, it's why heels are often more like exciting than faces.
Yeah.
You know, like the good guys are often kind of dopey and like and a little bit boring, whereas the characters that are allowed in the bad guy persona are always a little bit more. They have an edge to them. They're more interesting, but they're assholes and you want to see them get beat by the good guy eventually.
Yeah.
And that's how you make the money.
Right. But what if you're the asshole? You're the heel who says all the interesting things. You get so much press attention all the time. And yet when people want to look into you and find out where you're a liar, find out where you're full of shit and really expose you. And it turns out you're the sweetest, kindest human being alive.
Hmm.
You're incredible. There's just nothing bad to say about you personally. You live that life that you say that you do, like that whole thing.
I mean,
you become both.
Marty,
you become the heel and the hero.
Marty DeRosa is going to kick my ass, but I'm sure there's a wrestling analog for that.
I'm sure there is.
That character,
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure that bad guy character who's like, oh, he seems really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure that is a character, and I can't think of it, but yeah.
That's the thing that I think is so attractive to Christians who otherwise would never go along with such amoral bullshit, is that the guy spouting amoral bullshit is living the moral life that most Christians can't live. Like most, you know, he's
well, I mean, are you just talking about like the prosperity aspect of a lot of these preachers who live these sort of largely comfortable, affluent lives? And,
well, see,
they create an image that it becomes aspirational almost to the audience and congregation.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Jeffers is different even from that. If I wanted to talk about that, you know, we could talk about Paula White Kane all day.
Yeah.
Like so many of these people,
Joel Osteen,
are those guys who are selling you something and trying to win money from the grift.
Mm-hmm.
And I genuinely don't think Jeffers is. Jeffers is not trying to grift anybody.
It's just political.
He is purely political.
He's working on a political project.
Absolutely. Jeffers is a true believer. And the one thing that he truly believes in is getting rid of the rest of us and creating a white Christian theocracy. And he will say anything, defend anything, do anything to make sure that that happens.
Well, let's hope Randy Rhodes wins this one.
I know, right?
Got your back, Randy.
Yeah, come on, buddy. That'd be, man, Randy Robinson is so funny to me. He's most of his stuff has like a few hundred views.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a nice guy.
Well, I mean, he's trying to enter a space that's not made for what he's doing.
Right.
You know, like, it's, I like to shit on, like, Dave Dobenmeyer for having, like, 35 views on
videos. Yeah.
But to be fair, like, YouTube streaming isn't the place for, like, it's not a huge popular place for Christian extremism.
Yeah.
Necessarily. So it's tough. And Twitch has got to be even more of a sort of a wasteland or no man's land for a religious sitting around chatting broadcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, good on him, though, because, I mean, I'm hesitant to say anything too committal because I don't know anything about this guy.
No, again.
But, like, the idea that, like, he's carving out a space on Twitch that, like, you know, no one is doing that.
Yeah.
There is a place for it in terms of the like streaming platforms, and if it's him doing it,
genuinely,
seems like a better person than
absolutely
than some monster.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, once he carves out that space, the monsters will gravitate towards it and exploit the work he's done,
and then his kid will become the Antichrist.
I think that's the only thing we can predict.
That's the only thing that we can say is for 100% going to be true. You heard it here. Randy Robinson's kid will destroy the earth.
I mean, if it skips a generation, then...
All right. No, I mean, that's the thing. All four of these televangelists absolutely hold abhorrent views.
Sure.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. To varying degrees.
Yeah, exactly. There is, but James Robinson first started by, like, just going, like, I don't want to be part of this anymore for whatever reason.
I'm obsessed with chairs.
Pretty much.
I sound like Dusty Rhodes.
He's just that guy. Now, I mean, he's, of course, in the Christian televangelist world, he believes in awful shit. Randy Robinson, absolutely, in the Christian televangelist world, he believes a lot of horrible shit. But when you listen to Randy talk, you can see that he doesn't want to. I think there are so many people who just don't want to believe this horrible shit, but they're, because part of the teachings of Christianity is like, shut the fuck up and listen to your pastors.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's that kind of thing. So I don't know if I fully got my point across, but I feel like I did all right.
I think there's a lot of points. I think there's a lot of, reflection. I don't know. I would say that what I see from this is like two different trajectories going through time. You got like one that seems to be working towards a better outcome and one that seems to be working towards a worse.
Right, 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 right.
You have,
but both of them believing that they're working for the better outcome.
Yeah, I think almost everybody does. I mean, I think that even Alex, man, it's hard for me to say this.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure I believe it.
Yeah, I know, right? That's why it's so refreshing for me to study people who do believe what they're saying.
But at times I do think that he probably thinks he's doing what's right.
I agree.
I think there's at least a part of him that thinks that. Well, although it can't be it can't be full. Whereas I think these guys probably fully think that what they're doing is
100%
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by these guys.
Well, I think that you're always going to find that whenever the genre is religious.
Yeah.
You know, I think that you're always going to find people who are more believing that what they're doing is right when it's you take the framework of politics and replace it with religion. Now, granted, Alex is a crypto religious fascist who's hiding his religious beliefs behind political messaging.
Right. And also aliens.
And demons.
Yeah.
And a lot of movie references.
Yeah.
But there's still like there's still the political veneer to it that allows the like maybe I'm not committed to everything.
Yeah,
I can
change
positions.
Right.
Like I can support Ron Paul and Rand Paul and then support Trump.
Right.
Like, you can do that. You can't do that with God if you're a religious person.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're one of these televangelists, you can't be like, my candidate is God.
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
Shawn Michaels is fighting next to him.
Another contender has showed up and God is not doing it for me. So guys, you should vote for Trump.
Yeah, that does make it harder, doesn't it? So yeah, that's televangelists, Dan. I think
it's interesting.
I think what I've mainly done, and this is what we talked about as far as me doing episodes, is after the last one with Mark Moreno, I never want to talk about Mark Moreno again.
I think the feeling is mutual.
The same thing is true.
You said your piece.
The same thing is true today of Robert Jeffers.
All right.
I never want to talk about Robert Jeffers again.
Maybe we open up a whole new series where you start taking on some of these televangelists that I don't want to fucking cover. We've got a lot of requests for people like, who want you to want us to cover, like Rick Wiles. Some of these
I don't know who Rick Wiles is.
Well, maybe that's your assignment
we'll see,
for the next
maybe
one.
We'll see what happens.
Maybe that's the new genre of Jordan Take the Wheel.
Yeah.
So this has been fun. Thanks for bringing this to my attention. I'm still a little confused, not by you, but just by some of these thoughts.
Yeah.
The generations aspect is fucking with me.
Isn't it fascinating?
Bit. Yeah, but
it really is wild. It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you, yeah, it's nuts. Anyway, so we have a website.
Did you forget you're the host? Yeah, it's knowledgefight.com.
Anyway, so we have a website, Dan.
It's knowledgefight.com.
And we are on Twitter.
We're at @knowledge_fight, and you're at GoToBedJordan.
Indeed, and we are on Facebook.
That's right. If you want to rate, review, subscribe, all that, you can do that for podcasts. You just heard it.
Yeah. In the meantime, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I am the juiciest troll.
You forgot DZX Clark.
Oh, shit.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.